Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations, following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. Today I'm chatting with Sophia Dickens. She is a brilliant woman. She's a married mom of four amazing kids, and her husband is not too shabby either. She actually talks quite a bit about him in this episode. She is the founder and creative chief officer of EQtainment, which is a company that focuses on the social and emotional intelligence of children. And she explains why that is a much more important factor in their success in life. And in the midst of all of this, she has managed to homeschool her children. I know, right? But she chats about the reality behind all that she does, including the fact that she has not had a good night's sleep in about 8 years. Look, there are so many gems in this conversation that you probably want to take out a notebook and jot down some of these notes. I highly suggest you check out her website, qwonder.com. There you'll find tons of parenting resources, lesson plans, and her amazing app that my children absolutely love. Far better than the stuff that you will find on YouTube. So go and check those out and listen in for this great conversation. I'm here with Sophia, and we have known each other for a while.
Long time.
Yeah, since you had two, I think, when I first met you, and I had the one, and now we both have four.
You technically have eight.
Technically. Which the oldest today turns 31, which is absolutely...
That is wild.
Completely insane.
That's making me feel old.
I just ignore it and stay in my head that I'm still in my 20s.
Well, we are.
Yeah, that's as far as I'm concerned. That's right. How it goes.
40 is the new 20.
Yes, exactly. So tell me, I always ask all of my podcast guests, who was Sophia, adult Sophia, before kids? Do you remember that person?
I like that you asked that in past tense, because that is definitely a past tense question. That is, you're talking about an entirely different person.
Completely
really
different
funny.
Life.
I don't really remember, but I do remember I had a lot of time for my husband. I don't look back to those days and think, I miss that. Like, I miss the freedom of it. I miss feeling like an adult, because I've grown so much in this past 10 years since I had my first. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And occasionally I do get out of my sweatpants and I clean up and I look pretty pulled together. And I would rather be that me that I am now than be the person that I was before, because I knew so little about life and about selflessness. And yes, you think you know so much. And I'm sure I was that person who thought when I had a kid that I was like the only person that's ever had a kid before.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And back then we didn't have social media, that we weren't sharing pictures. So it was like, I would make a PDF of pictures of my baby and email it to my parents. It was just like a poster of pictures.
That's crazy. Yeah, because when I had mine, social media was really just starting. I think Facebook had just opened up to regular people in my
right.
college age.
And I didn't even do it. I mean, I literally haven't done social media till this year. I started doing Instagram with literally just for some family. And doing it for Q Wonder and for EQtainment's been really fun, but I've never really partaken in it, you know?
Well, it's become this whole world that I think our mothers were definitely not exposed to, that it's like overload of motherhood, all these pictures of everyone.
It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And knowing what everyone else is doing at all times is, it's just too much. I don't think the human psyche was meant to handle a 24-hour cable news cycle where you see everything that's going on in the world at once and seeing what every beautiful, amazing, put-together mom is doing at once.
Yeah. Well, because you also are getting the pretty side of it and not seeing everything that has to happen behind the scenes that fabulous picture of them looking amazing.
I was thinking about making like the Real Me Instagram page. Not that anyone would care, because I really just have like my friends and family. But I mean, this is just the real all of us is downright pretty ugly. You know, it's messy.
Yeah, it's totally messy. But you see all these pictures and you're like, well, why can't I do it like that, Mom? But in reality, we're all down, dirty, covered in something our kids
threw. Oh, yeah. This is like my fourth shirt today because my son threw up on me countless times and has been up since midnight. So
that's never what you imagine motherhood to be before you have kids.
No. Motherhood is such a lovely, beautiful thing, and it doesn't smell as bad as the spit up on your shirt. No.
So were you the kid that always dreamed to be a mom?
No, I wasn't that girl who always dreamed about her wedding or dreamed of being a mom. I had certain things that I envisioned. I envisioned traveling with my husband, having like a partner that we went, that would, for some reason, I always pictured me and my husband hiking together, which is kind of neat because Reed ultimately proposed on a hike. And it was very symbolic of our life, like just the steady, tough climb and the beautiful, breathtaking views that you get to, even though it's a grind, you know. But motherhood, no, I don't think I ever, I just sort of pictured that I would be a mom similar to what my mom is. And my mom was a really awesome, strong, stay-at-home mom. But we really couldn't be more different from one another. So I ended up being a very different type of mom with different goals for my kids and a really different lifestyle. I don't think I could ever have anticipated who I would become because it's really been a step-by-step thing. And my husband's a really kind of 40,000 foot thinker. He's really great at pulling me out of the weeds. And so he had some inspiring thoughts about how we could raise our kids and how we could parent. And somehow we've gotten to this place where I think we're really aligned in our parenting. And it's kind of gone to a place that I wouldn't have been able to anticipate. It's really cool.
What would you say that you two have in the marriage that makes it possible to kind of support each other in that way? Because that's hard. It's really hard to manage that and to be on the same page as parenting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's our faith. That's the number one thing. Understanding that you're two broken people who don't deserve any of the benefits or any of the blessings that you get, but you just constantly talk about your gratitude for when things go well, and having our faith be at the core of our marriage. I think that's a really big thing for us and big for our kids. One thing that's been really fun is that we're both entrepreneurs. So since we got married, we've literally been on this deadly roller coaster ride at which at any point we can either succeed massively or have a treacherous fall. I think we've been walking that tightrope for so long that that's the only state we're comfortable living in. I don't think we would know what to do if we had a big sale of one of our companies or like a big windfall and all of a sudden had time on our hands or had a break. We would look at each other in total shock. But it's been a really exciting ride, and I think that's a pretty defining thing in our marriage, that we've been on this business roller coaster together. First, he started several consumer-facing brands, PR company, baseball bat company, a beverage company. And then together we started my company, EQtainment. Mm-hmm. And he's been fundraising for EQtainment for a couple of years. So I didn't know what to expect when all of a sudden we were going to be literally working together every day, but it's been awesome. And we're never short on things to talk about. The thing that I'm sure he would complain about is the fact that our business kind of lives in his bedroom. You know, like pillow talk now consists of, did you respond to such and such, or what are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
And so it's tough, but it's exciting. I mean, we're never, never short on excitement. Yeah. And sometimes we think we're going to fail epically and it's doom and gloom. And sometimes we're high-fiving and we try to remember to celebrate all the moments when things go well.
I think maybe the entrepreneurship part helps because it really forces you to communicate, which is key, especially with kids and the back and forth of, oh, I need to do this and you need to do that. So having those businesses,
yes,
and forcing you, yeah, to have to constantly talk about
it. And thankfully, we're both over-communicators, so everything gets said. Mm-hmm. But his parents did a lot of marriage counseling when he was growing up. So he used to kind of listen in and sneak into the living room while they were counseling other couples. So he got a lot of great wisdom that he was able to carry into our marriage. And one of the things they always talked about was that when marriages go wrong, it's not just like a sudden surprise. Mm-hmm. It's a slow leak. And so we've always been really mindful of what could those slow leaks be? What are things that we're letting go of that we really should be holding on to? Mm-hmm. Or where are there gaps between us? And so I think that's been helpful, because as long as you're mindful of it, you realize, okay, maybe this isn't what he needs. Maybe he needs this right now. Mm-hmm. And I've let this go for way too long. Or I haven't communicated my frustration about this. When you do that, then all of a sudden you find yourself constantly checking yourself and getting back on the same page. And I think that was just really good advice from his parents, that it's about a slow leak and just sort of managing that.
It's so unbelievably true. And I think also realizing that there's going to be the highs and the lows, mm-hmm, that you have to take that into account. It's not always going to be, yay, we're so happy, everything is fabulous.
Yeah, and you're not yourself. I mean, we were just talking the other day about how we've been married now for, I think, almost 13 years this year. And I've been pregnant or breastfeeding for 8 of those years. That's a lot.
That's a lot of
time where you're not yourself, your body's not your own, your brain is dysfunctional, you can't string a thought together.
You're
don't feel like getting cozy in bed. You don't feel like giving, mm-hmm, it your best. You know, you don't feel beautiful or sexy or attractive. And so he's been really amazing about that. I think he has a great appreciation for that. But he's the same way. I mean, he's been like in so many stressful situations with work that I really empathize with him, especially now that we've had a chance to work together.
Mm-hmm.
For the last couple of years, he's the chairman of EQtainment, and he did the fundraising for the last 2 years. And so it's nice because our skills are really complementary, but I'm able to understand his stresses and his burdens a lot more now that I'm part of it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's that big gap between husband and wife because they live totally separate lives,
mm-hmm,
and our lives are so interwoven and interconnected. And you saw our house before we started the podcast. I mean, there are like 10 people here at all times. It's crazy. Our family motto is embrace the chaos. So there's a lot of like bumping into each other with 4 kids homeschooling, new baby, a teacher coming in, you know, there's just like this constant revolving door, and there's just a lot of friction in the house.
Yeah.
And so you have to just get used to that and be okay with the fact that there's a lot of interaction and a lot of
so many pieces.
Yeah. It's like bumper cars,
yeah,
in here.
And there's bound to be a problem somewhere in, yeah, that. So I love the just embrace the chaos.
Embrace the chaos.
And I live by that too.
There is no shortage of excitement.
It's,
and I would take that over anything. Did you see the new Hugh Jackman movie, The Greatest Showman?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
There's a song that Michelle Williams sings called Tightrope. And it's kind of about walking this tightrope, taking this entrepreneurial path with her husband, and how they have this breathtaking view, although it's treacherous at every moment, but mm-hmm. she wouldn't have it any other way. And that's totally how I feel about this path that we've chosen. And we really deliberately chose this path to both be entrepreneurs. I remember at the beginning of our marriage, we had a sit down and we decided, like, he wanted me to on the same page. Mm-hmm. Do we take the steep, crazy, treacherous route up the mountain to try to get where we want to go? Or do we take the ambling slow path that doesn't have as many risks and doesn't have it as many, potentials for disaster? And so we're taking the steep path. It's going to get ugly. We may fail, but at least we'll fail trying to do everything we wanted to do. And so that's what we're doing now.
Well, that's a good conversation, because a lot of people go into marriage blindly, not thinking about any of that. And it leads to disaster more often than not. So I'm going to assume we're having all of your kids' decisions that you guys made up front. Mm-hmm. Did you say we want a big family, or was it kind of like, let's just go with the flow?
That's a good question. So he is the oldest of five. His parents had a second litter of kids. Like when he was, just like you guys. So he grew up in a big family. I love being part of his family. And we both wanted to have a big family, but there wasn't ever a number. I think mm-hmm. when he saw the first baby come out, which I didn't even see, like I wasn't even really looking down, but when he saw that baby come out, he decided, I am never going to discuss a number with my wife again. Whatever she wants to do after she just pulled that whole maneuver off, I will let her do whatever she wants to do. So we never had a number in mind, but after we had three and the third was four, I got baby fever so bad. Like there was no place safe in the house for my husband. Like he would come home and it was like, look out.
Yeah.
I don't know what came over me. It must have been totally like primal, instinctual, but I wanted a baby so bad.
But I don't think I will ever get over baby fever.
Really?
I don't think I'll ever get over it. But four, I think, is enough for us. I don't know about you guys, but I think
everyone has a different kind of threshold. But for me, it was also that now that Sam Reed is 10, I want to be there and I want to be present. And mm-hmm. when you have a baby, you kind of go into this black hole for like 2 years where you're not really yourself and you're not present and you're not sleeping. And so as big of a joy as it is, I wanted to be present for my older kids and really experience their age 10 to 20 with them
mm-hmm.
and have the opportunity to travel with them too.
Yeah.
So I think four is going to be the number. But to answer your question, no, there never was a number. It was just like, we want a bigger family. So my mother-in-law always says, don't think about how many kids you can handle right now. Think about how many kids you want at your Thanksgiving table.
That's a good
How many point. Adults you want. And part of that is our parenting philosophy, too. We're not trying to raise great 2-year-olds or 4-year-olds. We're trying to raise 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
We're thinking, what do we want this child to grow up to be like when they're full-blown adults? And how do we raise adults?
That's a great thought process to have, because it's so easy to get caught up in the muck of the day-to-day and the overwhelm that it comes along with having younger kids. Mm-hmm. But to have that big picture over all the things that you're doing gives a much better perspective than just the day-to-day, oh my God, I can't do this.
It gets you through the day-to-day. You know that saying, the years go by so fast. The days go by so fast. So long, so slow, but the years go by so fast.
It's so true.
Couldn't be more true of motherhood.
Yeah, and you can't really understand until you're right in the thick of it. And every once in a while you look around and suddenly your oldest is starting to look like a little adult and you're like, what happened?
I wonder if that's the case. This is just from like a psychological perspective. I was reading about how when you see something new, there's a new input to your brain. Your brain perceives it as happening slower. You know how like the first day of school always felt like it was forever because everything was new, mm-hmm. right? I feel like when you have four kids running around the house, they surprise you so many times per day with just the insanity, like the kind of things that they're capable of.
Yeah.
That there's this constant newness, and that's probably why the days seem to go by so slowly.
Yeah. It's
like, did that just happen? Like, my daughter caught on fire at Christmas. I'm like, did that just happen? I can't remember any of the last Christmases for the last 10 years, but I remember her entire upper body on fire in slow motion.
Oh my gosh.
And can't get it out of my brain. Thankfully, she was not hurt at all.
Oh God.
But that's, this is like the perfect story of the mom who thinks she's got it all together, and she's fashioned this. I'm speaking in third person because I don't want to. I'm trying to
sign that to
myself from the blame of what happened, because it was totally my fault. But this was just a few months ago at Christmas. So we're in this room, and I put together the most perfect Pinteresty Christmas. The Christmas tree's there, all the gifts are wrapped. We told the kids they couldn't come down until we were ready. So we've got the hot chocolate lined up and all the little cinnamon buns lined up and everything's perfect. And because I was concerned about a Christmas tree being a fire hazard, I decided instead to light a candle that smelled like a Christmas tree. And I don't know if I was feeling like Joanna Gaines or something. Like, I just thought I would create this perfect tablescape with the candle in the middle of the table. So the kids come down and we're opening presents and my husband has the baby in his lap, and all of a sudden he gets the most horrified look on his face. I'm sitting where you are.
Uh-huh.
And he throws the baby down, jumps up. I look up, my 8-year-old is on fire.
Oh my
her
God.
Her entire torso from her waist to over her head is engulfed in flames. And he jumps up. She had a scarf that she just gotten for Christmas, and she sat down and leaned back, and the scarf caught fire, and the fire went all the way up her back. So he grabs the scarf, reaches into the fire, pulls it out, throws it onto the rug. The rug catches on fire. I jump up and start patting her down like crazy, which that day, by the way, I realized only 2 of my 3 kids knew stop, drop, and roll.
Well, at least we learned that part.
Kids, right? It was so horrific, and we all just collapsed on the couch. It took us like 45 minutes just to recover and start opening presents again. Her hair was singed. And thankfully, I mean, if it had been like 3 more seconds, she would have burned her skin. She didn't. But of course, mom decided to put a candle on the coffee table. So it's totally my fault. And I hadn't slept for weeks. So it was just like a really poor lapse in judgment. It's a failure of imagination.
Yeah.
I feel like, remember the brief that came out after 9/11, the most famous line from that, they were trying to figure out what went wrong and how this cascading series of events led us to this national tragedy. And the line at the end was, ultimately, this was just a failure of imagination on our part, right?
Yeah.
I feel like motherhood is all about having a failure of imagination of all the crazy stuff that can happen.
Because you could never imagine the things that will actually happen.
Especially when you think you've got it all together. It's always the moments when I think I get like a little injection of pride and I think I've got it all together. That's when the poop hits the fan. I mean, it's
total disaster.
So when I had the 2, you know, like when you have a kid and your friends are all like, How is it with 2? How is it being a mom of 2? At that point, I was in my 20s, so mm-hmm. everyone was asking, what's it like being a mom of 2? And so I had this narrative in my head as I was bathing the 2 babies and feeding one of them oatmeal. So I had the toddler and the baby in the tub. And so we're basically doing breakfast and bath time at the same time. So I think, like, I am a boss. I have got this all together.
I literally have this
like dialogue in my head of what I'm going to say when my friends ask me, what's it like having 2? And I was going to be like, oh, I mean, it's really just easy as long as you stay on top of everything. It's just like having 1. You just have to kind of do everything all at once. And here I am multitasking, thinking I'm so awesome. And all of a sudden, the toddler has an explosive poo-poo in the tub. But the baby's still in there. So I pull the baby out, throw her on the cold bathroom floor. She starts crying hysterically. He starts freaking out because there's poop in the tub. It's like that scene from Jaws where like it's coming at him and he's trying to scramble up the sides of the tub. And so I'm thinking, if this poop, I can't drain it, because if this poop goes down the drain, it's going to get stuck in the drain. So I'm like trying, he's screaming out of his mind. I grab the bowl of oatmeal thinking I can scoop the poop out, but instead all the oatmeal goes into the tub, and now I can't tell what's poop and what's oatmeal. And it's just like, it's like a massacre in my bathtub. I mean, it was just, and that's because I had a moment of pride and
thought, that's how it'll get you.
I am mobbing like a boss. I got it all together. This is how we roll.
Every single time. I would say the moment I have things figured out, I get thrown some loophole that I was not even possible to imagine.
Yeah.
Oh, you're doing all of this, and you mentioned your business, EQtainment. First of all, let's talk about, what does EQ mean?
So EQ refers to emotional quotient.
Yes.
It's short. It basically is talking about emotional intelligence, social and emotional skills for your kids. So everything that your kids aren't learning in school, everything non-academic, is pretty much under the category of emotional intelligence. It's all the stuff that your kids need to know. And there are about 40 years of data that show that social and emotional skills are a stronger correlate to school readiness and to life success mm-hmm. than academics. So we waste all this time focusing on IQ, which, don't get me started on that. That's a totally flawed system that our entire education system is based on. And yet there's this other thing that's a far greater correlate to life success, that's far more powerful to your kids' behavior, to their school preparedness, even to their academic success, and that is social and emotional skills. So when I was about to have the first, I remember reading all this awesome information. And when I was a student at Harvard, Daniel Goleman was lecturing on emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. He came out with the book in the 90s showing all this fascinating data. And I was completely blown away that, wait a minute, this is the stuff that matters? And here we are all scrambling to have these perfect SAT scores, perfect academic scores, and we're all going into the working world totally unprepared for life and how to manage the ups and downs and control impulses and focus. And so I started becoming obsessed with emotional intelligence. I thought, what are we missing here? This is huge. Mm-hmm. So I started looking for products that I was going to be able to use with my own kids, and I couldn't find anything. So I spent a few years researching it and thought, I'm going to translate all this wonky academic data for moms. I'm going to make this for my own kids and create a product that makes it easy to teach your kids life skills. And that's how EQtainment was born.
And what? You're dealing with the craziness of balancing kids and being a mom and a wife. What in your brain said, yeah, I'm going to take this on and I'm going to build a company to take all this information in my head and make it simple for other moms?
Well, back then I only had one kid. So, but then again, it's all relative because that's just as overwhelming as having four,
oh, absolutely.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
when you're a one child mom at the time, it really is overwhelming. I think part of it was that I was a TV host before. I was a video correspondent on the game show Jeopardy. And I saw firsthand how when you make learning fun and entertaining, it really triggers a different part of the brain. People mm-hmm. love to learn when it's entertaining. So I traveled all over the world for Jeopardy. And then I became the host of Channel One News, which was in about half the classrooms in the country. Mm-hmm. So I took Anderson Cooper's spot before he went to CNN, and then Lisa Ling. And so saw there how kids who weren't used to getting the news, all of a sudden when it was entertaining and more MTV-like, mm-hmm. were really absorbing what was happening in the world around them. And then I did some red carpet hosting too. But I had this awesome experience in media where I saw what entertainment could do for the learning process. So I thought, okay, well, how do I take all this data and translate it for moms and make it easy and fun? How do I do this for myself first and foremost? Because I knew this was going to be the only thing that mattered. I think that was what inspired me to do it, that I didn't want to raise a bunch of kids that left that house at 18 just having memorized stuff,
like
random facts. Right. I wanted them to be emotionally whole mm-hmm. and well-rounded. And without tools, I had no way of doing that. So that was the impetus for starting EQtainment. So it started with a board game and a bunch of supporting toys, like a breathing doll that helps kids focus and control mm-hmm. their impulses. And the board game has all these physical challenges that gets the kids up and moving and practicing balance and coordination, because it's the same part of your brain that helps you control mental impulses mm-hmm. as well. So you get control of your limbs as a child, and all of a sudden you're able to control your thoughts, mm-hmm. right? And so there are all these fun aspects of the board game. But anyway, we started out with those products and then moved into media. Now we have an app and a TV show and a new pop album that teaches the kids life skills. So focus, impulse control, creativity, problem solving. And we just acquired some tech as well, a new software that helps children on the autism spectrum.
Oh, that's great.
With learning, feeling identification and stuff like that. But that was a long-winded way to answer your question. And your question was really like, how do you take this on as a mom who already feels like she has her plate full? Because I was still helping my husband with his businesses. Mm-hmm. I was still doing a little bit of TV hosting, and I had a baby. And I think the reason I felt like it needed to be done was because I saw it wasn't being done. And I think that's the key to starting a business for any, as any entrepreneur, you have to say to yourself, okay, is this already being done? And is it being done well? Mm-hmm. Because if other people are already have a great cooking show or blog that talks about XYZ, what are you adding to this crazy mess of information out there? Like, do you have your own angle? Is this product already out there? And can you compete with whoever has it out there? If mm-hmm. Disney's doing it, maybe you can't compete, right?
Yeah. And I think also the passion for it, because if you don't have a passion for it, you're just going to drive yourself nuts.
Oh, you're right. You're totally right.
And you, yeah, because you were also homeschooling your children, so you were really thinking about the things that you want your children to learn and be able to do. As
yes.
they're learning.
You're right. So this is really an extension of my parenting mm-hmm. and has helped with my parenting. So every bit of research I do, every talk I do, it's all helping me be a better mom, which is really the goal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just a constant iterative process where it's like this big, crazy experiment of trying to get motherhood right.
Yeah. And I think it's some things that a lot of mothers naturally do that we're just not aware that we are currently dealing with the emotional intelligence
yes.
of our child, and we just have no idea.
You're so right. I feel like that's really my mission is I see that there are all these moms out there that are really intuitively coaching their kids in an awesome way. They're mm-hmm. really getting it right, but they just need a little bit more help. They need a little more they need a few more tools.
Yeah.
Right? They
Some
need
direction.
To be able to, if they do have to hand their kids the electronic babysitter, right, mm-hmm. for like a few minutes, then let it be a show that inspires their kids, helps them work on their focus and their patience, and customizes for whatever their kids need. And that's part of what our app does too. Like we have you take a quiz, and then we put you on a custom pathway based on your child's personality. Mm-hmm. So if they need to work on empathy, that is where they go first. And then parents are able to monitor on the dashboard. So I just wanted to create something that makes it easier for moms, because I feel like we're so overloaded with so many things that we think are important, but really aren't. If you just get this one thing right, if you can just grow your kids' social and emotional skills, it will lay the pathway for almost everything you want to do in life and with your kids.
Yeah. And that's, most of us just want to equip our children to be the adults that they want to be and be functioning
yeah.
adults. And it can be so overwhelming.
There are so many pressures, though, to focus on other things, including the academics. And I really think that's just, I think that's so bogus, because academics, I mean, so much of academics is linear thinking and memorization, and all of that stuff's going to be automated within a couple of years.
Literally.
Robots are going to be doing everything our kids are learning right now mm-hmm. on the academic side, memorizing facts, even computing, analyzing, number crunching. Computers can cook now. They can create artwork. They can compose music. So it's not just that like humans can maintain control of all the creative stuff. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
So how do you teach your kids to be different? How do you teach them to be adaptable? And I think that social and emotional skills are the number one thing.
It's huge.
Because we don't know what the future is going to look like.
And it's moving so quickly. Like what we may think is the future, it could be 5 years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can't, I don't even
Oh,
think
it's
we
compounding
can
so fast. I can't even keep up.
Yeah. Like your phone becomes not even a factor in like a year. Like you have to throw it out and get a new one. Like how is this happening so fast? And you're doing all this, and I want to know what's behind the scenes. Like, what is your support system? How are you taking care of yourself to be able to spread yourself out like this? So you're running your companies, your marriage, taking care of your kids.
I don't think anybody can really work, homeschool, even be a mom well by themselves. You need that support network. There were some spurts where I was doing too much myself, and I didn't have a choice, because if you don't have the money to pay for somebody else to be doing it, then you just have to make do with what you have, right? You've got to just figure out a way to prioritize. So for a couple of years, I was the CEO of EQtainment, and I felt like I was doing such a horrendous job as a mom and as a CEO of the company, dealing with shipping and distribution and 4 factories in China and units getting stuck on, you know, there's a port strike in Long Beach and you're not getting your products to Target in time, and everything is like on the brink of disaster and it's all your fault. And so I felt like when I was sitting in boardroom meetings, that like the fraud police was going to show up and be like, you are not qualified raise money or be CEO for this company. And so thankfully, we got to a point where we were able to hire a CEO. She's extraordinary. She was a Harvard Business School grad, McKinsey person. She was from Mattel, the toy company.
Okay.
And so now she's operating the company, and that's been a huge relief for me. But then once she came on board, we started adding the TV show and the pop music and all that stuff. So I'm in charge of the content. So my load hasn't really changed, but now at least I'm focusing on the things that I do well.
Yes.
And that's something that I feel like any entrepreneur can really should spend some time thinking about. Okay, what do I really do well, and where am I best suited to work? In, like, say you're starting a company, what's my expertise?
Mm-hmm.
Where, how can I try to stay within the parameters of that? Because now there are so many companies out there that, like, we used to have a bookkeeper, right? We used to pay a full-time bookkeeper. Now we just use a software for it. There are a lot of different services that you can now outsource. You know, we used to pay branding firms a ton of money, and now you can go on 99designs.com, and for $100, you've got a brand new logo, you've got your business cards, you've got your website set up.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So I think just doing your research and making use of all the services out there can start to minimize some of that ancillary stuff that's really just taking up all your time, so that you can focus on the stuff that really moves the needle.
Yeah, I've learned that you have to focus on what is going to move me forward today and let the other stuff kind of fall off, because you can't do it all.
And, you know, I'm not good at giving advice because my brain is totally fried from nursing and not sleeping and whatnot. But Tim Ferriss is a great resource for anybody who's starting a company or thinking about starting something. His book, 4-Hour Work Week, and then he has several subsequent books, including 2 that are from his podcast. He has like 800 million downloads of his podcast. It's crazy.
Check that one out.
And so he distilled them all into a couple books. It's basically him hacking the greatest people in the world's daily rituals and habits, why they're so successful and why they're able to do what they do and achieve so much in such a short amount of time. And so he gives really great advice. And one of the most basic things, which sounds totally obvious, but it's that you have to decide, what are my 2 priorities for today? I used to be the person that was like playing whack-a-mole all day long. And I thought that movement was productivity.
Yeah.
So I'm like doing everything. I've got a to-do list this long. I'm like hitting it one thing at a time. But instead, when I started prioritizing and saying, okay, if I get these 2 things done today, I will have succeeded today. I will have achieved what I needed to achieve today. That literally sounds so obvious, but once you start doing that, it's a game changer.
It really is. Because the whole like, oh, I have 20 things on my to-do list and I'm going to get them all done today. Never going
to. Yeah, and how many things on your to-do list are like wishful things that you would like to do, but you don't need to?
Never going to happen. You talked about having structures in place, and you know, there's so many things to support people now where you can take very simple things off your hands. Who are some of the people that you have behind you supporting all the craziest?
The people are everything. So one thing that was a life changer for me was having somebody come once a week to clean the house and do the laundry. I wouldn't survive without that. Oh, and you'd think, like, same. I'm walking around cleaning all the time. My two oldest kids have become two of my most supportive people because I've finally started giving them real responsibility. They take turns doing the dishes. My son has Monday, Wednesday, Friday. My daughter has Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And they are in charge of the dishes all day. And I can't even tell you, you know, we have like eight people in the house at all times. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of dishes. Like that is a lot of loads going in. So the kids have been really helpful. They've been amazing with the baby. They feel like this is our baby. This is our responsibility. Yeah. If we're going to all enjoy having a little brother, we're all going to participate. We're all going to partake. My eight-year-old has taken so many night shifts. I can't even tell you. Wow. It's been amazing. She sets everything up on the floor. She puts out diapers, wipes, pacifiers, everything. So she doesn't have to ever lift him out of his crib because that wouldn't really be safe.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So he's sleeping in his little rocker. She's on the floor. Or she gets up in his crib with him, changes his diaper. She goes and steams the breast milk. She feeds him in the middle of the night and then puts him back down. She writes me a report in the morning.
I love it.
I mean, I wouldn't survive.
Can I hire her?
Amazing. And it was so funny because I was desperate. He was like 2.5 months old. I was so desperate. I hadn't slept. He was waking up every single hour. So I interviewed all these ladies because my friends were like, you have to get a night nurse. You know, mm-hmm. You've got to do this. Like you can't survive. So I interviewed all these people. I finally found the right lady. She shows up. And that night, my baby sleeps 11 hours.
Of course.
She doesn't even see the baby. I'm like, here's $300 or whatever it was. Like, thanks. Never saw her again. And he hasn't slept through the night since then, but for different reasons. Anyway, having a cleaner come just once a week and help us with the laundry, that is so helpful.
Oh, my God.
Giving the kids responsibilities, that's been a huge help. Finally getting to a place in my business where we could hire a CEO, and then we've made more hires since then. That's been really, really helpful. Instead of just homeschooling the kids myself, for the first time, I hired a teacher mm-hmm. who comes in. She teaches the kids all morning. She has a curriculum for them. She kind of drives it. I said, here are my priorities. And so we work together on that. And it's kind of nice because I get to do a lot of the fun stuff, like working on, you know, doing American history and experiential stuff with the kids. We have a Chinese teacher that comes in and we learn it together. So I can practice and do the homework with them. That's been really, really helpful. And, you know, just having a husband that you can talk to about everything, or having a friend that really gets you and gets what you're going through. You know, sometimes as an entrepreneur, you feel like you're the only one of your close circle of friends that's stepping out and doing this crazy thing that you're doing. So to find another entrepreneur or find somebody that you can talk to, it really is, from like an emotional standpoint, it's very cathartic, mm-hmm. but you also end up getting really great tips from people that have been there and done what you've done.
Learning.
And I found a lot of camaraderie just from like reading books about, you know, what other entrepreneurs have done. And the Tim Ferriss world, I'm telling you, is so awesome because everybody there is trying to hack entrepreneurship and make the most out of their businesses. And he's just like a guru in that department. So yeah. I'm a big fan.
I'm totally hooked to This Is How I Built It with Guy Raz.
I haven't listened to that
one yet.
That's a
good one too, because it just shows like the full story of how someone got to their business and how all the little like crazy things they went through, the sacrifices, the wins. That actually inspired me to do the podcast, but that one is a really great one to hear.
You know, there was a jazz artist, I can't remember if it was like Dizzy Gillespie or who it was, but he said, I don't need more time, I just need a deadline.
Yeah.
And that is one of my all-time favorite quotes, because what could be more true than that? You have to set a deadline. So if you're thinking about starting a business, set yourself a deadline. Do a crowdsourcing campaign, Indiegogo or Kickstarter. So I decided to do Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And before I did Kickstarter, I had to come up with a business plan, right?
Yeah.
This wasn't going to be a viable business. I wasn't going to be able to present this to anybody, raise any money, if I didn't have a full-blown business plan. And I had no idea how to do a business plan. So I read Timothy Ferris's book. I read lots of other books. I Googled, how do I do a write a business
Thank
plan?
Thank God for
right?
Google.
Thank God for Google. So I Googled pretty much everything because I had no idea. The learning curve was so steep. And I would just, I'd get a babysitter, just like a college girl, come watch the kids for a couple hours while I went to Barnes & Noble and just sat there and took notes on everything I needed, every website I'd need to access, all the resources out there for me. How do I write a business plan piece by piece by piece? And then I had this deadline of the Kickstarter campaign. And with that deadline, I had to have a prototype in hand. Mm-hmm. I had to have a board game made. And all the little figurines and all the cards and everything printed and have my story, have my mission statement, have the photography done. Like, all of that needed to be done. I also had to have a really inspiring message. If you don't have a call to action, you can't even go out there and do a Kickstarter campaign. And then the Kickstarter campaign itself tests for demand. Mm-hmm. Is there demand for my product? And I think you really have to find out if there is before you really dive into a business or spend your money or your friends and family's money on a business.
And your time.
Yes, yeah. And your time's worth more than anything, yeah. Especially as a mom.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I think you gave, I was going to say, can you give some advice? But you finished it off right with the perfect advice for any mom that wants to look into her own business.
Yeah, well, I would say you can do it. I mean, you can do it. It's a balancing act, and you're going to get it wrong sometimes, and the balance is going to be off, but that's why you adjust course. It's this constant experiment in how to be the kind of mom you want to be, how to raise the kind of kids that you aspire to raise, and then how do you build a business that adds value to people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And learn how to live in chaos.
Yeah, embrace the chaos.
Embrace it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum, and I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at the Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on the Mom Forum.